This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Think about this. What if you were given the chance to vote on where your city spends its money? There are many cities doing exactly that. People in the community annually choose whether to spend money fixing sidewalks or paving streets, putting up an art installation, or maybe sprucing up a park. It's called participatory budgeting. This week, officials from Cambridge, Massachusetts Budget Department are in Michigan talking with Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor officials about how it works. Cambridge started using participatory budgeting a couple of years ago. Michelle Monsignor is one of those Cambridge officials, and she joins us now. So tell me a little bit more about how participatory budgeting works.
Sure. Well, thank you for having us on the program, and thank you to our host, Janine DeLay from A2 Access, for inviting us out to Ann Arbor in the first place. So participatory budgeting, it is a mouthful. We like to call it PB for short. It started in 1989 in Brazil, and it's basically a democratic process in which residents directly decide how to spend part of a city's budget. It came to Cambridge in 2014 from one of our city councilors. He had some experience with PB in Portugal and wanted to see if the city could implement it. We're now in our third year. We're up to $700,000 that residents are deciding which capital projects they'd like to implement.
So this is not the entire budget. This is a portion of the budget.
It's a portion of our capital budget. So it goes into infrastructure projects and different things people want to see around town, yes.
So why do this? I mean, we elect city council members to brush up on, do their homework, find out what the priorities for the city should be. Why shouldn't they make the decisions for us then?
Well, I guess in our case, it was a decision by one of the city councils to sort of bring it to the city. But it's about getting people more involved. It's a civic engagement tool. It was trying to get people more involved around budgetary decisions in Cambridge and also getting people to sort of start voting from a younger age. Our voting age for this is 12 years old. And
right.
You also don't have to be a U.S. citizen to vote in this process. So we're trying to make it very open and inclusive and sort of just get people engaged in community and city building.
So how do people who are registered voters and taxpayers feel about people who aren't paying taxes participating and deciding how the money's spent?
Well, we've actually had a very positive response to the whole PB process so far. And even if you don't pay taxes in the city, you still may pay parking tickets, dog licenses, birth certificates. There's many other ways that you contribute to the community besides just using services. It's been really great. Every once in a while, you get someone who says, I don't think 12-year-olds should vote. But when you go to some of the voting events at the schools and our youth centers, you can really see young people engaging thoughtfully about the process. I mean, we're talking about projects that are on city property. So the parks, the playgrounds, the streets, the libraries, the schools, that's where a lot of young people are spending their time. So why not ask them, you know, what they think should be in those spaces?
I was reading an article in Next City written by our friend Anna Clark from a couple of years back. It was looking at Chicago's participatory budgeting process. The 49th Ward there learned a bit of a hard lesson, and that is residents aren't likely to vote for street resurfacing. So they had to change the ballot and were forced to ask the residents, okay, what percentage of funds should go to street resurfacing? Because there's going to be something going to them. Are there little kinks in the process that you found in Cambridge? Do you have to worry about those things?
Not something like that. I think we have a pretty big capital budget, so we take care of things like street resurfacing and sewer separation and some of those ideas that may not make it to the top of a PB ballot. We take care of those separately. But the PB ballot has really brought more creative projects that the city might have not thought of to the ballot. So for instance, last year, one of the winning projects was a freezer van that's going to help with prepared food rescue deliveries. So taking food from places like Harvard University that's not going to be used and freezing it, repackaging it, and bringing it to some of the families and food pantries around the city. So we've gotten, yeah, more creative projects. There's going to be a public toilet in one of our main squares that's coming out as part of this process. That's probably one of the most popular projects that's won so far. We're
now,
also
do you
doing...
mean a public restroom or do you mean, explain public toilet.
Everyone always wants to know about the toilet. It's actually the Portland Loo, which was designed by Portland, Oregon. It's kind of this stainless steel structure. The city's already put one in a different square. It's big enough for your stroller, your bike, your wheelchair if you need to go in. You can see people's feet on the bottom, right? So you can tell if more than one person was in there, if someone was lying down.
I've seen photos of this.
Yeah. There's been studies done about where Cambridge needs some more public restrooms. So PB is also helping respond to that need. We're also doing things like automated water bottle filler stations, bilingual books for kids learning English, 100 new street trees won the first year. One thing we really liked was that it seems like people are voting for things that help people in need or citywide. Like, you really don't see many folks voting for, oh, this community garden in my area. You know, a lot of people who voted for the public toilet, maybe they're not planning to use it. Or maybe the people who voted for the bilingual books aren't teaching their children Nepali or Hindi or Arabic at home, but thought that these resources would be helpful in the community.
So what's the big picture goal? Why do this?
It's sort of like what I said before, just trying to inspire people to get more involved. It's a great tool for the city to learn what more people care about as well. We're trying really to reach underrepresented groups who may not come out as part of the broader political processes, and that's also kind of why I mentioned that people as young as 12 or people who are not U.S. citizens can participate in this. We're doing an evaluation this year. We do an evaluation every year that focuses more on who voted and who we're reaching. But the evaluation this year will try to gauge the impact of PB now that it's been 3 years to see sort of, is it changing people, the way people think about the city, interact in the city? Is it affecting their broader participation in political processes and just civic processes? So we'll see.
As you know, our major city, Detroit, went through bankruptcy. I'm just wondering if you could use this process in reverse, vote on what programs you want the city to cut.
We were talking about that recently to see sort of that might be a way for towns who struggle a bit more financially. Yeah, these hard decisions, you could put it to the community and sort of say, we need to make cuts somewhere. Here's, you know, seven different places. Where do you feel it would hurt the least?
You mentioned a couple of countries that are using this. Are there any states in the United States using this?
Not that I know of, but you're right that it doesn't just have to be a municipality. Other organizations like universities are doing it, housing authorities are doing it. So you could even do it in schools too. So the real key is just letting people who contribute to an organization, you know, directly decide how to use part of that money. I know when I was in grad school, I had many opinions about how I'd like my tuition dollars to be spent.
Well, I think there's a fair number of people in Michigan who figure they could make better choices than the legislature does. So I can see that happening. Or for that matter, you know, you could take individual agencies of a state,
right,
like the Department of Natural Resources, and where are you going to spend that money? You know, is it going to be spent on keeping the parks open, opening new hunting areas, whatever they might do. I suppose even the private sector, private charities, foundations mm-hmm. could use something like this to get a better feel for their community and what the needs are.
Right, and I think the key to getting people's participation is that you're putting real money on the table. That's what motivates people to come out and sort of spend the time. People volunteer a lot of time as part of our process. We have about 60, we call them budget delegates, and they're the ones that research all of the ideas that come in. They develop the proposals. They ultimately decide what's on the ballot, but they meet every single week for about 3 months. There's a big volunteer effort, and I think people are willing to come out and spend that kind of time with us because they are making real decisions about real projects.
We've been talking about participatory budgeting, which is something that Cambridge is using. Michelle Monsiger is with the budgeting department in Cambridge. She's here in Michigan talking to IPSI and Ann Arbor folks about the idea and see what they think. So thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.